I wonder sometimes, do we really believe the Bible? Is it to be taken literally is really the question, isn't it? Some of the things that we read and have heard for years, I wonder, do we really comprehend the magnitude of the Holy Writ?
Hell, of course, is the most hated truth in the world today. Most gospel ministers don't preach about it. Many gospel preachers don't believe it anymore. Even in some Pentecostal circles, they don't believe there is a hell. They say it's incompatible with the preaching of God's love. They say, how can a God of mercy send anybody to a burning pit of everlasting hell? But Jesus was the very first to warn of hell.
I believe that we need to understand the reality of hell. Hell is a place. You see, there is a place called heaven. There is a place called New Jerusalem. There is a place that is called, that is talked about, that has many mansions. But in the same Bible, there is a place called hell.
So close against the stream.
Jesus was the greatest preacher on hell in all this living word.
If there is a God, then there is a hell. If the Bible is God's word, then there is a hell. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. Jesus taught more about hell than he taught about heaven. He used words such as destruction, damnation, outer darkness, torment. Hell is no joke. Your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell.
Jesus was the greatest preacher on hell in all this living word. Let me tell you what I believe is going to be like. The Bible says, first of all, it's going to be a kingdom of total darkness, both literally and spiritually. His kingdom was full of darkness. That's Lucifer's kingdom. Now, the Bible said in God's kingdom, there'll be no night there. There's no need of a candle, no light of the sun. For the Lord God shall give the light. Jesus Christ will shine in His glory. He's the light of those in heaven. The city says, no need of the sun nor the moon to shine, for the glory of the Lord does light it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Hallelujah. Hell is eternal darkness, not a speck of light. And it'll be so tormenting, so suffocating. And this is going to be a darkness created by God. Created by God. They will gnaw their tongues for pain. Jude warned, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. There's a darkness that cannot be defined by human reasoning. Peter said, a mist of darkness reserved forever. It's a mist that God has created that falls upon those in eternal hell.
The Bible said in Revelation, they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That means that there are no furloughs in hell. There's no exits in hell. There's no time off for good behavior in hell. The gatekeeper of hell cannot be bribed, and no one living can pray you 1 second shorter out of hell.
Now, the only thing that gives any comfort to any sinner in New York or any place on this planet today is the fact that God's people are still here, the Holy Ghost is still here and working. You take the Holy Ghost out of the earth right now, it'd be a hell right here on earth. There is comfort. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. And even the sinners, wicked sinners, they don't know it, but they're feeling that sense of safety and comfort. They don't feel the sense of danger because the Holy Ghost is still here.
If you go to hell, you will wish for the day that you could come back to this building and hear this preacher one more time give one more altar call. You'll wish for the day that that friend or that mom or that dad or that relative would say to you, won't you go to church with me? You would wish that you could take that day back. The Bible said they were in darkness in the storm and they wish for the day. And there will come a day for those who go to hell that they will never see the light of day again. It'll only be outer darkness. Imagine if you laid your head down on your pillow tonight and went to bed with a comprehension that the sun would never rise again.
There'll be no spirit, there'll be no life. This will be an eternal knowledge of ever drifting from the presence and the light of God. Away from every Christian who gives joy, cheer, anything that has to do with happiness, cheer, and joy, all gone. This will be a world of transgressors, of child molesters, and of Hitlers and Mussolinis and all of the dictators. It will be a world, the Bible said, numbered with the transgressors.
That you would never see sunshine, nothing but darkness 3 days from now, 6 years from now, 20 years from now, 1,000 years from now. No light, nothing but darkness. And that is the description that Jesus gives for hell, outer darkness. You cannot live wrong and die right. If you're living wrong, you're going to die wrong, and you're going to a place that is called hell, according to the Word of God.
Jesus was the greatest preacher on hell in all this living world. Can you imagine waking up in that kind of company and looking around and there's nothing but sinners, nothing but the ungodly, and you are numbered among the transgressors, backsliders and compromisers on earth? The thought of God, of holiness and purity, is going to die.
If you're not saved, you're playing with fire. I don't care if you believe in this. I'm so sick of the modern philosophy that's creeping into the church. Oh, that's barbaric. I cannot believe that you would stand up and say there is a real hell. If you're saying that it's barbaric, I'm saying you're calling Jesus barbaric, because He is the one. He's not uncivilized and barbaric. He's the speaker of truth. The lie's not in Him. He can't lie. And if He said there's a place called hell, friend, let men lie. You see, modern philosophy has gone through heaven and said there is no gold, gone through Jesus and said there is no God, gone through this book and said there is no truth, and gone through hell and said there is no fire. But that's man's philosophy. But there's gold in heaven, there's God in Jesus, there's truth in this book, and there's hell, fire in hell. Let every man be a liar and let God be true.
Now, hell is more than just being abandoned or forsaken by God. The Bible said those in hell are going to suffer the vengeance of God. The flaming fire taking vengeance, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now listen to this, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. For we know Him. He said, vengeance belongs to Me. I will repay, saith the Lord, for it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. Vengeance is Mine. I will repay.
In Revelation 6:16, it talks about the wrath of the Lamb. Strange saying. I've never seen a wrathful Lamb. But He says there's coming a day when the wrath of the Lamb will avenge the sins of the world. And the Bible said that they will cry out, let the rocks and the mountains fall on us, because they want to flee away from the face of Him who sits upon the throne. And then that's when the Scripture calls Him the wrath of the Lamb. What in the world is that talking about? When you talk about the Lamb of God, you need to talk about the grace of God, and you need to talk about the mercy of God. That's what we understand. But to the opposite degree will be the wrath of the Lamb. And just as He went to the length of Calvary to produce redemption, He will go to the length of the bottomless pit to produce judgment.
But you see, this word vengeance is retaliation. God said, I'm going to repay. Now what kind of vengeance, what kind of payday for mockers and scoffers like those who produce these movies like The Last Temptation of Christ and the mockery of Jesus Christ? I can't even conceive in my mind the kind of vengeance that God will have prepared. If God can just speak a world and the world is destroyed by a flood, if He merely breathes His breath and fire falls on the whole population of Sodom and Gomorrah. If he just speaks a word and dust turns into lice, and he speaks a word and serpents cover the wilderness, and Egyptians are covered with boils, and all of that when God's anger was restrained. That wasn't the wrath of God. It was just a touch. Can you imagine what his wrath would be? The Bible says that those who are in hell are going to have special bodies prepared, instruments of unrighteousness. They're going to prepare bodies, instruments of unrighteousness, instruments of destruction. God, even though we get a new body, there will be a new body for those who are cast into hell, an eternal body that cannot be consumed.
Calvary is the only answer to why there is a hell. If God walked down, if God Himself walked down the star-studded steps of heaven, and God Himself went to an old filthy barn in Bethlehem, and if God Himself was born of a woman, and then the creation that He made, He allowed to spit on and beat Him and kill Him. If that God was willing to do that, then that sacrifice could only call for the most severe judgment to counterbalance that kind of love.
Our minds can't conceive the everlastingness of hell. We can't even calculate it. Now, who's going there? The Bible says the majority of mankind is going to hell. The disciples said, Lord, are there few that will be saved? Jesus said, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction or to hell, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that are going to find it. When we think of hell, we think of those going there are the obvious. The Bible said the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. The Bible said whoever is not written in the book of life, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only people who are saved are those whose names are written in the book of life. There's a great white throne judgment, and there's a book. The Bible said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Jesus made this promise. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I'll confess his name before my Father and all his angels. Do you know your name's written in the book of life today?
Second Corinthians 5 and 11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what I'm doing. I've come to persuade men that you need to get right with God. Now these new philosophies that God just takes anybody and everybody, and you know, the Muslims and everybody, the New Age people and the gay folks, we're gonna all go to heaven and be in the big cloud up there somewhere, a big misty being. We won't even call him Jesus, just a being, the supreme one. You know, we'll all just get up there one day. If that isn't what this book says, your this doesn't have a that, and it's man's life.
Jesus, send the Holy Ghost mightily right now. Settle over this congregation, the balcony here on the main floor, and just quietly deal with us now. There's some, Lord, that have turned away from you. But I know that there are people here tonight that have turned away. There are people, Lord, that you have just arranged to be in this meeting.
The way I know I'm saved is because this salvation I have is that which is spoken of in this book. He is the way, Jesus Christ, the truth, and the life, and every other man and door is a liar and a thief according to that book. So you better get in the book. I'm going to heaven. I got a place in heaven. I've got a mansion in heaven. I'm going to shout in heaven. He's got a place. I go to my Father to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to hell.